glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see.
Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's October 2nd, 2013. And Jason, I don't know, this is getting a little personal for all of our radio listeners and for me to share, but I think I'm experiencing a little bit of bedhead or something. I mean, I had like the most outstanding sleep last night, and I just marveled. I slept so soundly, so completely, and it's so foreign or unusual for me to really sleep so well. And so I'm telling Jason just a few minutes ago, I said, I'm sitting here thinking, this is probably what most people experience on an ongoing basis. And so I'm just like, thank you, God, for such a good night's sleep. And I'm feeling a little dull. Like, I mean, I'm energized and I know I'm rested, but this is like unusual for me. So I'm kind of sitting here just very relaxed in a very peaceful state saying, thank you, Jason, for coming this morning and helping and assisting and being a part of this program. And Jason's seen me always. I never dress up for the morning program. And that's probably a great understatement. And it doesn't.
Your dress, that's what matters.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I am clothed. The whole body is always clothed. But I'm typically never shaved. And that doesn't happen until about 2 in the afternoon when it's like, oh, yeah, I got to go out and meet people. And so it's best that I start shaving and such. But anyway, thank you for being available for the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. And if you're new to this radio ministry, yes, this is what you're offered at this time, 7:32 a.m., re-aired at 7:32 p.m. And as Jason and I just finished praying, typically it's like, Lord, you know, use our life story, use something maybe that we learned through reading your scripture or an incident that we saw you at work in someone's life, or maybe just even a fun story that lets people know that you can have joy in the Lord and share unique experiences, or maybe something that we've read. And so we kind of never exactly know where God will lead the program, but our intention, our desire, our passion, our prayer is that through something that's said or conveyed or referred to or pointed out will help you draw closer to God. That's the first and foremost in my mind, what needs to happen, what I desire to happen, that you're drawn into that relationship with God, first and foremost, because he loves you. And then maybe we can be conduits, or because of something that's said, or maybe even something that we don't say, but somehow God, through however the creative work of the Holy Spirit, will bring something to your mind. Maybe it'll trigger a scripture verse that you're aware of, that you've memorized, or something else. Maybe there'll be some kind of conviction just because you'll think, wow, from their story, I'm sensing this, and then God will supernaturally use it in your life to have you model Christ to somebody. We never quite know, but our intention is that you're drawn closer to God, that you will be in his word, that you'll be in relationship with other like-minded believers, and that you'll be growing, and then you'll take maybe a nugget of truth and apply it into your life. I'm all about application. That's what drives me, is that some biblical truth will be discussed or shared or hammered out in such a way that you'll get it, and then you'll say, Lord, I want to take on that practice. I want to grow in my relationship with you through daily meditation, through scripture reading, through serving in a unique way, through being more involved in your church, through whatever it is, that something will become apparent, and then you'll have tangible action steps. I mean, that's just kind of how I'm wired. And Jason, I think you could speak for yourself, but I know you have a passion to teach God's word and divide it in such a way that God is honored, that it's clearly understood. And then I think that people apply it to their lives. But what rings your bell, as they say?
What rings my bell? Well, God's word rings my bell. God's spirit, God's people. When the three get together and they do what they're supposed to do, when they move in the direction that Jesus wants them to move in, that definitely rings my bell. And my kids ring my bell. When I look at them and hear the crazy things that they say, because, you know, what do they say out of the mouth of babes? Kids say the darndest things. And Art Linkletter was totally on when he said that. Even though I don't know, my kids haven't said some of the things that I've seen in his books. They say better stuff. So,
yep. Hey, let me digress here, because it was phenomenal. And I don't think we talked about this. So much has happened since the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. And with all the different events last week and special programming yesterday with Dennis and Bill from Jesus is the Way Prison Ministry. And then they have Ruth Graham Lotz, that interview that she had with Jim Sanders. I got to hear that on Monday. But last Thursday at the Merge Gospel Series, I just felt led at the very end of the session to have everyone kind of hash out some of the things that they learned or what they appreciated about the 12 weeks. And, you know, just openly in our last 10 minutes, you know, honor you in such a way because you've put so much time and energy and effort in preparation and study and being there, being available. And so one person after another got up and shared different things, how the scriptures came alive, how they appreciated the explanations on Hebrew idioms or just different connections that they had never made before, what I would call those Kesher moments where it's like the English equivalent of Velcro, where they made a real true connection with something. But then, and you just mentioned your son, and that's what triggered this, and it'll probably bring tears to both of our eyes, but here's little Jacob. Little what, 7 and a half? Is he? When will he be 8?
Yeah, he'll be 8, 12th.
Of
October. So.
Oh, coming up.
Yeah. Trust me, he's leaving little birthday lists all over the house.
Yeah.
Things that he wants.
He's like a little grown-up. I love that little guy. I mean, he's like a little grown-up. He's got a sharp mind, a deep thinker, and he's going to be another little Jason Jr. But anyway, all these people are saying really kind and wonderful and loving things, and it's obviously embarrassing Jason, too, because I wouldn't let him say anything. The only thing that I asked him to reply with is saying, thank you. And anytime he tried to say more, I'd pull the microphone away, or I held it most of the time and just put it in front of him, and then he had to make eye contact to tell the people thank you. And he didn't like any of that because he wanted God to receive all the glory, but it was a great outlet for people to share and appreciate him. But then in the midst of that, little Jacob gets up. Actually, he's holding his hand up for about, you know, 30 or 40 seconds. And I said, Jacob, do you want to say something? And he said, I'm telling you, any dad, it would be the dream words. He said, I just want everyone to know I love my dad and he's a great dad. No, he said Papa, which to me, that just melts me. Dad, you know, for some people, that's a very special word. Mm-hmm. But you use the Papa word. Yeah. It's like, oh, man, that's like the words Jesus used when he said Abba, Daddy, God. I mean, a very intimate, loving expression of somebody he honors, his very dad. And so he said that, and I think most everyone, it's like where the whole crowd, like, I mean, it was deep and it was wonderful. And then what even made it better is how he processed and what he shared later when he got home with Tasha, the fact that, you know, Mama, or I don't know, what's he called,
Mama.
Tasha? Mama. I didn't realize all these people loved my dad and appreciated him. So he was listening. He was actively engaged. He was attentive. He was processing. This little 7, almost 8-year-old mind was processing. I just never realized that all these people appreciate my dad. And I know it filled up Jason's heart. And just seeing that his son got it and appreciated it, and it was a life-changing experience, I guess. So.
It's been good. He's been inching towards, you know, I mean, 7, 8. We're getting close to that age where, you know, I feel that he needs to start to make some real good concrete decisions in terms of his faith, in terms of what he believes. And, you know, we're pretty loose-handed with that. We teach our kids, we train our kids, pray with our kids, we do all those things. But we want them to find Christ on their own. But we also want to lead them also towards Christ. You know, Proverbs, pay attention to your father's instructions, do not forsake your mother's teachings. So we believe it's our job to lead them towards that. And he's been asking more and more questions. So we're getting closer and closer. In fact, on Sunday morning he asked me if there was going to be water in the baptismal. And I said, well, why does it matter if there's water in there or not? He said, I don't know. Maybe I'll swim. which I think is him because he's nervous about it. He's nervous about all the people that would be in the room. He's nervous about a lot of those things. So, but he's beginning to ask the right questions and he's beginning to see those things. And so, so we're excited about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the special words that a father would long and love to hear from a son. And he said it in such a sweet and a deliberate and an intentional way that we were all just like, wow, I can't think of better words to hear from a child. And he just said it in such a straightforward, honest, an intentional way. It was just like, oh, I mean, I'm still being blessed by it. And that was last Thursday.
Yeah, in our parenting, we've really, we've taken this culture of honor. I read a bunch of stuff in the past number of months on the culture of honor and building cultures of honor where people feel honored and they feel good. And so one of our, you know, as we're trying to counteract disobedience, you know, our kids go to public school, and I don't have anything against public school, but public school right now is a tough place to send a kid to and then bring them back home into a very Christian environment. And that's no different than if I was to send him off to a public soccer game or, you know, anywhere he goes out there, he's meeting and greeting with some people who don't follow Jesus. And so, you know, with a different set of standards and morals. But a lot of our countering disobedience and our talking about disobedience in our house is all centered around, we want to be proud of you. We want to give God a great report about you. We want to be joyful. You know, reading the Hebrews 16, you know, we want to be joyfully talking about you because of your obedience. And so I think that that's actually coming around, too, because he's using that language with Tasha and I. You know, Tasha made something for dinner, and he said, "Oh, Mom, I'm so proud of the meal you made." But, you know, and we could take it like, oh, he's kind of, you know, giving us the business. But I don't think that's what he's doing. I think he's really, truly has grabbed onto the language, and he understands when I say to him, "My son, I'm so proud of you." I think he understands how great that makes him feel, and so he wants to share that with somebody else. And so it's been really good. So I think that that experience and all that, I think it helps him to see that you know the importance of living a certain way.
Yeah, and he's not your typical 7 1/2 or almost 8 year old.
No, he's like 80.
He's a sharp little thinker. I mean, I sit next to him many times on the Saturday men's breakfast gatherings. I mean, you see the place card or whatever I'd call that. I have a sign in the studio here, and when guests come in, I always make sure it's laid out. I usually just leave it in the chair. Once in a while, if I have two guests, I have to move it somewhere. But it basically says in big black marker lettering, like he's written out, he's drawn out, saved, and then underneath it, seat, and then it says, for Mark, and what's that other, of Burns, Mark, okay, well, there's, I don't know what that little thing is, but basically it says, save seat for Mark Burns, and it's basically like a piece of paper, but this is more like cardstock, a full sheet, and it's bent in half, so it sits a little bit upright, but everyone looks at it, and they smile, because they can tell a child wrote it, but we have this special ongoing relationship, and I just...
You're his favorite friend that has a car.
He said my favorite biggest friend or something.
But yeah, he just has a strange sensibility about him. We have this ongoing thing where I've been trying to get him involved in. I think there's such a value in sports, organized activities is what I would say. And so I've been trying to get him involved in something. I'm like, you want to play baseball? Nah. He always says this. He says, nah, you know what, Dad, I'm a fun guy. And I go, what does that mean, you're a fun guy? And he goes, you know, I just have fun. And I'm like, so what's fun? He goes, I like to read books. That's fun. And I go, okay. So I'm like, you know, you want to do karate? Because we have a gentleman in our church who leads a local karate studio. Nah, Dad, I want to be a fun guy. So we said the other night at dinner, it was like a week ago, we said, well, if you're a fun guy, does that mean you're a funny guy? He goes, no. He goes, I'm a fun guy who's serious. And then he was talking about the baby that's going to be due here shortly at the end of October, Samuel, our little bun in the oven. And he goes, nah, Dad, I'm a fun guy, but I'm serious. He goes, but Samuel, he's going to laugh his way through our family tree. And it was just a funny comment to come from a 7-year-old boy to say, laugh his way through our family tree. Right, so we were just we think he's just he's such an interesting little boy, and as a dad, I'm just incredibly proud of him, and especially now, you know, I see him draw. I'm always proud of him, but seeing him draw close to Jesus and seeing him understand that and seeing him really start to grab a hold or grapple with what that means, and it also makes me very cautious of the world, I guess I would, because I see the impact of the world. You know, I think what Jesus says, you know, faith like a little child, I think that we can always see the converse too of how the external things impact somebody who has childlike faith. And childlike faith is not a faith that just kind of is aloof and doesn't see all the evils and the bads and the things like that. Childlike faith, I think, actually is probably more impacted by those things because it's easily, you know, it doesn't have any walls up. Childlike faith has no walls. It can see all the possibilities, but it also is open to all the attacks. And so I see the things that he brings back in, and it makes me so wary and cautious of some of the things that I see in the world. I mean, even so much so, I just got to say, these video games that some of these kids play, I mean, he came home and described one of these video games to me, and I said, how can 7-year-old kids be playing a video game like that? But you know what I mean? It, for us, we just say what a gift. Every time he comes home with something like that, my wife and I say what a gift that we get to now tell him how Christ reconciles that mm-hmm. moment.
And we could do a whole nother program on, oh, She Takes My Heart Away, Little Molly and Abigail. And I'm telling you, I told Tasha one time in an email recently, I said, don't leave those kids around me because I'll kidnap them and take them away forever.
Yeah, you feel that way, but I feel, you know, I'm just telling you right now, Molly is a work. She yeah. is.
She can hold her own, though.
She's a marathon. I mean, she destroyed my office last week. She decided she wanted to show somebody a picture that was on the top shelf of this bookshelf, so she decided to climb the bookshelf. Luckily, she's nimble enough that she jumped out of the way but almost crushed her friend.
Yeah, that whole bookshelf, which broke glass.
Oh, my gosh, everywhere. I mean, it created a huge mess. You know, so, I mean, she just, that's just what Molly does. And Molly is here to keep us very humble. She wakes up every morning, and this is, I can give everybody a picture to what our mornings are. She wakes up every morning. She bounds into our bedroom at directly at about 6:45, 6:30, and she says, I'm hungry. Breakfast, please. And then right after that, before we're even out of bed, and we've even moved on to breakfast, please, so what are we going to do today? And she gets upset if there's nothing on the agenda.
Yeah.
She goes, well, we must plan something.
Well, and, I mean, I know every grandmother thinks their grandkids are the cutest, sweetest, most adorable beauty queens or, you know, beautiful sons or grandsons in the world, but she really is. Her face, I mean, little girls to me, you melt, but she can handle herself. I mean, well, all your kids, they walk around the church. I mean, even little Abigail just walks around and is confident and comfortable around people, but she's just a little charmer just because of how she looks. She's so cute. But then she can, like, hold her own and her smile, and she's very, I wouldn't say affectionate, but just she would come and hug your leg or come alongside you, and it's just like, oh, man, I'm putty around your kids.
Yeah, Abigail is great. She and I probably have the most different relationship than the other kids because...
And she's only what, Abigail?
She's two. So she came at a point in my life where I had, through Jesus, really sorted my life out. I knew where I was going, what was important, what mattered. And so from the time she was born till, you know, now, her and I have spent lots of time together, lots of affection. You know, Jacob, if I had one thing that I could just take back and repent, but I wouldn't want to because it forms who we are. Was that, you know, he came during a time in my life where I was trying to work it all out. And so I didn't spend a lot of time with him when he was very young. I mean, I spent time with him, but not time like I spend with Abigail. And but, yeah, they're wild kids. And they're very, you know, you hate as a parent to be braggadocious and say, like, wow, they're really smart. But some of the things they say, I just don't know that I get that. I mean, Abigail's two. And yesterday I came in the kitchen and whenever I come in the kitchen, I go over and I wrap my arms around her and I give her a little kiss on the head and I say, I love you. And I wrap my arms around her and I give her a little kiss on the head and I said, I love you. And she looked at me and she goes, Poppy, I need a wone time.
Oh, jeez.
And I mean, this is a 2-year-old sitting at the table telling me she needs some alone time. Tasha was at the counter with her hand over her face. She couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah,
So it's kind of what we live with.
Oh, thank you, God. And thank you, God, for sharing. And I'm sure so many in our listening family can identify with their children or children in their lives or grandchildren or just the importance of pouring into these young ones and directing and pointing out how Jesus wants to be involved in all parts of our life, even during that playtime, during the reading, during the meals when we pray, just through affection, proper affection and attention and care and leading them to Jesus. Well, gosh, well, I got about 3 more minutes left, and I was going to highlight a few different things, but we're in a new month, Jason. It's October 2nd now. What do you have for us today in the last couple of minutes?
Yeah, I really don't have much. I would say this, though, because we were talking about parenting and we were talking about all that, and I get a lot of people who ask me all the time. They say, you know, people come in for counseling. They come in for different kinds of things, and they always say, inadvertently, parents will always say this to me. What's the best parenting book? Because they see I've got tons of books all over the shelf, and I've got a couple shelves that are just relationship and books for, you know, dealing with relationships, counseling, personal issues, da 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 da. But they're always like, what's the best parenting book? And there are a lot. I mean, Henry Cloud wrote Boundaries for Children, which is an excellent parenting book. Why You Do the Things You Do by Sibsey and Clinton is a great book on kind of unraveling some of the hurts that kids may have that they bring in because of your own baggage that you're raising them through and in. But I don't, you know, as a pastor, I guess I want to say the best training book is the Bible.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, that whole crazy love thing. Hey, why study other books when the Bible, John 3, 6?
And so Proverbs chapters 1 through 10 is a manual for parenting. Solomon says over and over in every single one of the chapters, he says, my son, you know, obey the, listen to your father's instructions, don't forsake your mother's teaching. Chapter 2, my son, if you accept my words and store my commands up in you. Chapter 3, my son, do not forget my teaching. It goes on and on for 10 chapters. And so I've just been reading the Proverbs over and over again and jotting down thoughts and trying to, these 10, trying to understand what it meant to be, what it could mean to be a parent like Solomon, but unlike Solomon, because I don't have 600 wives, thank you, Jesus.
Yep.
But how can we do that? And so I guess I would say this. If you're not my Facebook friend or you're not a friend of the church yet, our church, Community Evangelical Free Church, our Facebook page, go in there and become that, become a friend of our pages, I guess you want to say. It's really weird to say become a friend of ours because we're really not friends. Not in the sense I guess I would define friendship. Come and be our acquaintance. because what we're going to do is we're going to post every few days, verse by verse, through those 10 chapters of Proverbs. And just a few, you know, it's going to be the proverb and then just a few sentences on my own personal thoughts on it. And what's really fascinating is as I keep going through these Proverbs one by one as I'm jotting down my own thoughts, I keep finding Jesus. I mean, I keep finding Jesus. I mean, over and over again, the Proverbs talk about wisdom and discipline and the Word and how the Word and the wisdom and knowledge are applied to living prudent and good and righteous lives. And whenever the word Word appears in there, we know that from John 1:1, that means Jesus, or that's a connotation to Jesus. Jesus is the living embodiment of the Word. And so the Proverbs, every single one of them, I keep finding Jesus.
And someone unfamiliar with that verse, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Right.
That's Jesus. Hey, now that I'm thinking, it's October 2nd, so maybe today would be a great practice to begin reading through the book of Proverbs this month, and every month there's 31 chapters, so every month that has 31 days, like this month, you can do a different chapter of Proverbs each and every day. So just read chapter 1 and 2 today, and let's do that throughout this month of October. It'll be a great manual for God to breathe new concepts, thoughts, truths, and let's see how you find it, Jesus, in those scriptures. Well, we're out of time. SRN News won't wait. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
Well, he might be the doctor that finally finds a cure, or the one who brings the schools back into prayer.